Hello and welcome back to XY, a show about mental health on men. Exciting news, XY is now sponsored by 136 Fitness. 136 Fitness is an online and in-person training program that covers physical, nutritional and mental health. We are super excited to have them as a show sponsor. You should go check them out at 136.fitness. That's the words, not the numbers. So 136.fitness. And you can get them on the gram at the same handle, 136.fitness. Go check them out. We love them. Okay, so today's episode, we have the super lovely and charming Nick, who is the founder of Grindhouse, ex-master trainer at Barry's Bootcamp, and all-round genuine guy. We spoke a lot about his experience pre-fitness industry, in the fitness industry. I learned a lot about him as an individual. And I think you'll find that he was super open, super transparent and super honest. And massive thank you to the guy. Really, really enjoyed chatting to him. And yeah, enjoy the episode. Well, here we are on the XY podcast. Cheers for joining me, mate.
Pleasure.
Okay. Yeah, no, thanks. I guess I found out about you through a mate. He told me about Grindhouse, which I definitely want to hear more about because it's really bloody cool. Really love everything you guys are doing on social. I've not done a class yet, but it's on the list of things to try. I'm working my way through the subscription online services. I'm a sucker for a subscription.
There's a fair few out there at the minute. So yeah, I'll show you your hand.
trying a few different options. But love everything you guys are doing. Thank you so much personality behind it. But this podcast is about mental health in men. Doesn't need to be too heavy, but I heard you kind of talk a lot about like your journey as a trainer. And I was really kind of like inspired by you. You were talking about like your first class. You were like mega nervous. You couldn't sleep before it, all that kind of stuff. So there's no kind of rigid structure to this, but I would just love to hear a little bit about your journey as a trainer. And then why you started Grindhouse. The floor is yours, man. Like, take it away. I'll interrupt if I've got questions, but I'd just love to hear a little bit more about you.
Where do I start? I mean, I guess, for me, my entry into the fitness world was like very unconventional. I was always into fitness as a kid. And, you know, I used to play a lot of kind of rugby when I was younger. And there was obviously a passion when I went to uni and I started to train. And I was like, I actually really like this for more than just like training. And I guess the system I was in, like 95% of the population is like, you're at university, you get kind of drilled into thinking that you need to have a 9-to-5. So when I left university kind of through like the system and just like the training, I was like, well, fitness isn't really a tangible option then. And like, obviously, you know, way back then when I graduated, it was 2011, like the fitness industry was still probably very one dimensional in the sense that like, it was probably PT working in a gym and there was no real sense of like boutique fitness at all. So I guess you could, you know, look at it from like a, you know, like a financial opportunity or whatever. Like we don't have the, like in 2011, there wasn't the platform that like you have like kind of nowadays. Like, you know what I mean? Nowadays, right now, if you want to become a personal trainer, even though, you know, the market is so saturated, there's still so much opportunity with the likes of social media and just so much else sort of happening right now. So like it's evolving quick. And even though it feels like it's been around for a long time, we're literally at the inception within the UK specifically. Like if you've got to look at what kind of the US is up to and so many other areas, like we're still way behind. So there's so much opportunity. But my route into it was, I mean, like I said, it was unconventional. Like I went into working into a 9-to-5. I worked in marketing. I worked for an agency that kind of focused in Formula One. And it was fun. It was all right. Like I lived that whole cycle of 9-to-5, Monday to Friday, kind of living for the weekends. I was fairly good at my job. I was okay. I was competent, but I wasn't anything like spectacular. And I knew one day that it wouldn't be something I wanted to fulfill long term. I've talked openly about having a stammer before. So I've had a stammer now probably since the age of 8 or 9. It wasn't something that like I had initially as a child, but it's something that came about. I don't know why, I don't know how. I've done everything under the sun, like from fucking like sort of, I mean, NLP, I've done like courses, I've done everything, you know, to find out exactly what the route is. And like, it is psychological. I've had a long old kind of arduous journey with it, but it certainly had an effect on my confidence and myself as a kid, my communication. Obviously when you're young and you want to try and communicate and that's like taken away from you And like, there's a lot of anxiety there as well. Like as children, they don't really understand why someone's not able to talk. So I used to get like bullied quite a lot when I was younger. And obviously that had a bit of an impact on me as well. Luckily, I had a lot of other things that was released. Like I was fairly popular. Like I was head of house. I used to play kind of rugby. So I had all those things on my sides, which I was like really lucky. If I didn't have that, I would have been fucked. And I remember I went to a speech therapy course fairly, so recently, it was like, I think when I was like 25, 26, and I was with all these other individuals, and like, I was the most confident there. And even I was there because I had an issue and I was trying to rectify my stammer too. But I was like in the presence of like hundreds of kids that you could just see from looking at them, like their confidence was just shot. Like they had nothing about them. And like, it destroyed me because I'm like, I find it hard enough as it is. And like, I can kind of like, I can like, hold myself, like, you know what I mean? But when you don't really have much, like, it's so destroying seeing someone who's literally like, they want to communicate and they want to kind of make something of themselves and they're not able to as well. So like, I guess you could say the reason why I didn't pursue fitness earlier or anything that was like a forward facing role or like a front facing role is because of my fear of like public speaking and anything like that. Like if I was to read out in class or if I was to make a presentation at work, it would just be a nightmare. It would have been something that I would like struggle with. I just would hate it. So like, long story short, I went on this course and the course made me realize that like, look, I can either just accept the fact that because I got a stammer, I'm going to just accept the fact that I'm going to, you know, kind of work a 9-to-5 and I'm going to succumb to the fact that I let this thing of mine, like, you know, defeat me. And I can just accept that for the rest of my life. Or I can make a change and just see, you know, what could happen. So I left, I quit my job. I didn't think this was like maybe summer of 2015 or 2016, I think it was. I was like 26 at the time. I was like, right, I didn't have anything lined up whatsoever. Like I had a little bit of savings. I was just like, I just need to see what's going to happen. Because again, like I was rocking into work on a Monday. I was like, I was so unfulfilled. I felt like I didn't really have a purpose as such. And I was like, I can continue this or I can just find something else. And if it obviously works out, amazing. If not, then I can always apply for someone else. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's always that safety net there.
That skill set, again, it's not going anywhere. You can go back to marketing, you know?
Exactly. It's always there. Like, you know, it's, even though it's still challenging to find a job nowadays, like if like, you know, with my sort of CV and stuff, like I just knew that it, you know, like it's obviously always there. It was the most uncomfortable 2 years of my life, from the point where I left my job to the point where I finally got something in the fitness industry. I think I was like out of work for like, you know, 18 months. Like I had to sell my car. I had to.
Bruh.
Yeah.
That's like, a long time, man.
Yeah. Like I had to like, I effectively had no money and it was like, I was fucking scared. And I was like, I had the worst anxiety ever, compiled with the fact that I wasn't able to talk and I had anxiety over that as well. Like it was just a bit of a shit 18 months. But in those like times, you learn so much about yourself. I can't tell you how much I learned from having no money, from meeting Izzy, my fiance now. She didn't have any money. We were literally just living this life where we were fucking winging it. But you realize that you're meant to survive and that in that time of survival, you will literally just sort of find a way. And like, it made me realize, like, if I can survive through this period, then I can literally survive through anything. And it was real. It was like an eye-opening, like, you know, 18 months. But like, through networking, through like finding opportunity, I managed to find a job at this place called Ministry Does Fitness, which isn't open anymore. I think they were only open for a few years, but essentially I got a job as an assistant coach. And the way it worked at Ministry Does Fitness is you had like a lead coach and then you had an assistant, and the assistant was just sort of helping out the lead coach in a class. So the class was like around 20 people. I was just assisting him, you know, the likes of like sort of form and whatnot. And again, like I didn't really know at this point, mate, that I wanted to become a coach. I was just like, I'm interested in fitness. Maybe aspirationally would want to open a facility. So I'm going to work here just to see how everything sort of runs. Anyway, on a Sunday night, the coach that was meant to teach the Monday class, she like brings me up. And again, like at that time, we had a very small team. So we didn't really have the luxury of like coaches being able to come in sort of last sort of minute. So she was like, I've got food poisoning. I'm not able to teach. You might have to fill in for me. It was like 8 p.m. on a Sunday night. The class was 6 a.m. on a Monday morning. And I was just like, I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to, like, there is absolutely sort of no way. So Izzy at the time, she was like, you just have to, like, fake it until you make it. Like, what's the worst, you know, like, the worst outcome is that it goes completely tits up and you either receive a complaint or you get, like, sort of fired. That's literally the worst. So I was like, okay, cool. But, like, I remember you saying at the beginning of the call, it was that kind of moment where I was like, I did not even sleep. I had, like, when you are faced with a situation like that, and, like, whenever I had presented or whenever I used to read out aloud in class when I was a youngster, there's just, like, that feeling of, like, uncontrollable anxiety. Like, you shake, you have so much nerves, and, like, I can't really describe the feeling, but it's like you know where everything it like mm-hmm. it's literally there. You're just like, literally, like, I feel sick. And I rocked up to teach. I was so nervous at the time, and again, it was like the mic went on, the music went on, and I had literally the sickest hour of my life. Like, I was fluent on the mic. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, this is literally magic. It was crazy, mate. Like, for someone like me, again, like, this is like a massive moment where I could be in a conversation with Izzy right now, and even with you, and there'll be times I'll get like, you know, I'll, like, slip up on my, like, sort of words, and on the mic, I'm fluent. Like, literally, I'm so eloquent. I'm so fluent. Everything is, like, crystal clear. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? And it just so happens that when I have this mic on and I have the music and I have the lights on, it's like I turn into someone else. And, like, everything is just like, I'm in the zone and everything is as, like, sort of normal. And I'm like, shit. So that was like a eureka moment in my life. And ever since then, like, I never looked back. I was like, wow, it turns out that I'm actually all right at this. So I just literally went for it. And that was like 4 years ago. So from the time I taught my first class to the time now, obviously worked for Flarry's, became a senior trainer there, filled up classes from like 50 to 60 people. I've worked with Under Armour. I've done sort of YouTube videos with Under Armour as well. I've done like presenting, and I'm now obviously owning Dryandal. So like we've had a long ride, but it's been sick. And I think it just shows, like, if there's anything that my story shows is like, if you've got any insecurities, if you've got any fears, if you've got any sort of worries, you have to look over that, because you never know what could happen if like you put yourself in an uncomfortable situation. Like, you never know. So I guess that's one of my, like, I want to like kind of encourage a lot more individuals to, because I see it now, like, there's a lot of people afraid of stuff. I'm like, what are you afraid of? You know, what's the worst that should happen? So
So man, don't know where to start with my rebuttal, because so many parallels that I could just, like, one, I'm in the process of chucking like a 10-year career in marketing to like work in fitness. Wish I'd done it like 3-4 years ago. Got my final PT exam on Saturday coming up. Started like instructing at like a gym in the city. And it's just so cool and inspiring to hear somebody else who's done that and it like worked out for them. So personally, sick. Great to hear that like it all went well. But that's nuts that you come across like such a confident guy, right? Like you run a business, like the videos you post online are all of you like smashing it on stage, but like kind of, it's a performance, right? Of some description. And so for you to just kind of so easily on the mic come on and be like, yeah, I was like riddled with anxiety, super scared about like that first class that I taught, but then to hear that actually you got on stage and it was totally fine that's really inspiring, mate. Like, there's a lot of people that'll hear that, that'll think, like,
yeah. I think what's also important is like, it's not something like a lot of the time we talk about in life, overcoming things. And like, I used to say that I overcame it, but I haven't overcome it. Like, it's something I still fear now. Like, every time I have to teach, I get nervous still. Like, you know, I'll have some moments where I'm fluent, and I'll have other moments where I'm on the mic and like, it's just not really working out. And like, it's not about overcoming it. It's about sort of managing it. And like, even the most confident people, I'm not saying I'm super confident, but like, I like trust my instincts now. But even then, like, I still have those days where I feel insecure. I still have those days where I feel nervous and shit. I still have those days where I feel like a worthless piece of shit. But we all have those days. And like, I feel it's, like, it's important to remind yourself that like, when you feel like that, it's not important. No, when you feel like that, it's important to persist still. Like, when you quit, it's so easy if you just to sack it off. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're so we are mentally more resilient than we ever will know. And it's just about training yourself to get yourself in uncomfortable situations. And I'm really lucky in the sense that when I have to teach, or when I have to present, or when I have to do a podcast or do anything that involves me talking, I put myself in an uncomfortable situation. So for me, I see myself as if like I'm learning every single day. So like for me, it's like I've like chosen to see that as a positive now rather than resist it. I used to resist ordering sort of food when I was at a restaurant. I used to ask my sort of mum, I used to resist answering the phone. I used to resist it so much. Now I'm like, well, no, it's actually an opportunity for you to learn. If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it makes more than sense. It's one of those, I think, so I can completely relate to the point around, it's about, yeah, being uncomfortable and like sitting in that uncomfort and learning how to tolerate it and learning that actually like you are stronger than your weakest moments.
Yeah.
And for me last year, so like kind of did a 12-week course of therapy, kind of really hit my lowest low last year, as I think a lot of people did. Like last year was, it was a thing. Like, yeah, it was tough. It was intense. And I remember at the start of therapy, my therapist being like, we're not here to fix you, by the way. And I was livid. I was like, well, why the fuck are we? Like, what am I paying you money for? Yeah, like, if we're not going to fix me, then what the fuck are we doing on this call? Literally. And now, yeah, it's like, it's when that light bulb goes off, it's like, oh shit, like, we're not here to cure you of anxiety. We're not here to kind of like unsad you. Yeah. We're not here to make everything easy. We're actually here to like teach you how to like deal with those. Yeah.
I completely feel you.
Insecurities and doubts. Like that's, as you say, like that's the gig, like that's the job. That's every day and every week, there's going to be those like hurdles, but actually learning how to like keep going anyway. That's interesting, man. You're a wise guy, Nick.
Was that something that you did only for 12 weeks, or is it something which you can continue with now, therapy? I'll be honest, like I've been looking at it for a while now. And again, it's not, I feel like when we talk about that in the UK, it's like, oh, there's something wrong with you. Whereas like, for me, I just want to like, I've been really interested in therapy because I want to talk to someone else about what I've learned over the last year. Like, I feel like I've learned so much about, you know, myself, my actions, my tendencies, my personalities. And I'm like, I want to talk to someone just because I want to learn even more about myself. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, I'm just interested. Like, I'm really curious to understand how people have found it, because it's not something that I'm like, oh, I need to now have therapy because there's something wrong with me. I'm like, I want to have it because I want to evolve even more. So I'm
No, man, I couldn't agree with it more. Like, I did this podcast about mental health in men before I was in therapy and before, but it's, who knows, like maybe there was a reason that I started this podcast subconsciously that I kind of wanted to like get to know more about mental health. But I would have said before I was in therapy and before I started on antidepressants, I had a huge stigma about both. Like I had this idea in my, I didn't think I did. Like I kind of thought that I was supportive of people who did both, but actually I had a stigma because when it came to the doctor being like, I think you need to speak to someone, we should also maybe explore antidepressants. I had this like hang up of like, what was that? Sorry.
No, I was saying like, but like, I feel that's what we've been like trained to think, you know, almost in a way, like, it's something that you automatically think, oh, I don't need that.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing like this, with nothing like wrong with me.
Yeah. But I was having a conversation with someone because like, if you've got like a sore head or a sore leg or whatever, like you don't worry about taking painkillers for that. Or if like you're sick, you take medicine and you do treatment or you do physio. But we do have that stigma around mental health, right? But like the even further than that, the weirdest thing is that like if I was to like smash a grindhouse class today, you would want me to do like a selfie and post and tag you guys and be like, just smashed a class, like feeling sick, right? But you, and that's like exercising my physical muscles. Why as a society can we not be in a place where I would like, and that's bragging, right? That's me like flexing. So like, why would I not do that about therapy? Like, why would I not be like, just spent an hour talking about my emotions, feeling so much better for it. Like I'm hurting, like, but it'll improve.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm literally so with you on that. I think it will evolve. I think we're at the level now where it's becoming a little bit more accepted. But look, at the end of the day, there's so much like subconscious rooted stuff, which we've been trained to think a certain way, and like that whole like idea of like toxic masculinity, where like, man, it's something I've been really anti at the moment. Like, just realizing the way kind of males act towards each other, I fucking hate it. And it really like it really takes me back to like, you know, my uni days, my rugby days, and I was like, why was I trying to act a way where I knew that wasn't me? And but this is the thing, like in the UK specifically, and even all over the world, but I think a lot in the UK, we don't realize it more than we think. Like, people are trying to act a certain way that they know is not them. And like, I see it amongst males now, and like, I'm so removed from that. I'm like so much more, you know, the complete opposite of that now. And I just see it and I'm just like, you guys need to fucking grow up. Like, you need to start, you know, realizing more about yourselves. But there's a long way for us, you know, like it's so early. And I think the more like woke, you know, we become or whatnot. And it's not even a sense of wokeness. I think the more you accept that you need to talk about your mental health, your mind, you need to, you know, become more self-aware. You need to ask yourself the right questions. Like, you look at, you know, the way society's living, and it's just like, it's unhappy, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, so many people are just so miserable and depressed. And I'm just like, well, that's because you're not willing to ask yourself the questions, you know, why am I upset, or kind of why am I sad? Like, you're drinking yourself into the ground Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, you're not serving, you know, to yourself. And like, physical health is amazing, and training and fitness and amazing, like, it's such an amazing thing. But, you know, like exactly as you say, you need to spend more time exercising your mind as well, which I think is hard. It is hard, but it's something which everyone needs, dude, for sure.
Yeah, and it's honestly not rocket science. Like, I think once I'm qualified, for me, the big focus is combining like nutrition, physical and mental health. So I want to be like speaking to people a lot. I want to like really get to know them. I want it to be more than just like, I kind of don't think I'll ever have a client where I'm like, let's get swole at the gym, not least of all because I am neither swole, like, nor have any intention of like getting that way. Like, I'm more about that holistic thing. Like, I'm looking forward to working with people to make them happy in kind of a variety of senses, you know? But I think that like, it's not hard. Like, the days and weeks when I feel happiest are the ones where I've made good food. Like, I've got up early, I've done the workouts I said I was going to do, I've run the distances I said I was going to run. I've invested time with my wife. I've like phoned my mom. Like, you know, like when you do the things that you make the time for, the stuff that you know nourishes the soul, like you feel better for it. Like, it's, and yet we don't, as you say, we really overinvest our time in like destructive shit and buying stuff and like,
I think the reason why a lot of people aren't kind of moving towards that though, is because they don't know any other, it's like they don't know any other way. Like, if you know what I mean, like, you're used to drinking 3-4 times a week, sleeping 5 hours, you know, so not having these right conversations and stuff, like, it's like you're none the wiser. So when you are then asked to like train 3, you know, sort of 3-4 days a week, you know, obviously like make all your food, like sleep 8 hours. Like, I always say to someone, like, sleep is like one of the largest factors for me. Like, if I sleep 8-9 hours a night, I feel amazing. And then when I sleep 5 hours a night, I feel shit. But if you're, but someone who sleeps 5 hours every single night will not know the feeling of sleeping 8-9 hours. So it's like you get kind of used to operating at just 50%. And this is the thing, like, everyone's just used to operating at this sort of level where it's like, well, you don't know what's up here. So you know what I mean? It's like a vicious cycle.
100%. Sleep is like a superpower. Like, when you get into that good rhythm of like, I mean, I'm such an old man. I'm 30, but like, I feel like such an old man. Like, at 9 p.m. every night, I'm like, let's go to bed.
Yeah, same here. I've got the most kind of anal rigid routine. Like, I'm like asleep by 10. I wake up at 7. Like, I love sleep. I'm a bit of an introvert. I like my alone time. But like, at the end of the day, look, what more do you need? Like, again, you don't need 100 friends. You need like sort of 5. You know what I mean? Like, like, you know, like, it's so fucking true. Like, I haven't got time to like, you know, pretend that I want to be social or like I want to be mates to everyone. I've got shit to do. Like, our vision is like very, very clear. And like, I think that's why it really works with what's happening with like trying us now, is because there's literally 5 of us. And like, they're pretty much the only 5 individuals I see or I talk to besides my family. And like, as in not in, you know, in like an arrogant way, but it's like, I don't need anyone else right now. Like, we're on a mission. Like, I need to make this work. We're going to make this work. And like, if you spread yourself, like, you know, like kind of maybe it's like really thin, then what's the point? So yeah.
Yeah, literally, what's the point?
Yeah.
Less is more. And that, yeah, as you say, like, I'm not out here trying to be friends with everyone, not because I'm not sociable or not friendly, but just because, yeah, like, I like my friends. I've got my inner circle of people that I hang with, and that's kind of the one. I'm gonna wrap this up in a sec, but the last thing I kind of wanted to ask you about is, like, how important has your relationship with Izzy been in terms of, like, the journey that you've had going through that anxiety and, like, a career change, and what role she played for you in that?
Mate, she's she's like, if it wasn't for her, then I wouldn't be where I am. And like I say that with, like, yeah, just like I don't really have the words for it. I met her when I was at this, like almost a point in my life where, like, I was so low, and I left work, and I didn't really feel like I offered anything. And, like, to have someone who just, like, if there's someone I know that literally just supports me through anything, like, it is her. Yeah. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't really know what to say now because I can't explain it, but, like, she is everything. And we've, like, it's so weird because, like, obviously when you're in a relationship and stuff, you kind of have your own, like, paths and whatnot. We've done everything. Like, we've literally worked with one another since, like, we became trainers at Diaries. So, like, for the best part of 4 years, like, I've literally worked with her. Like, we do everything with one another. Like, we wake up, we sleep, we make food together, we train, and now we own a business. And, like, I never get sick of her. And, like, I think that's, like, a massive thing. No, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes in relationships, it's really healthy, you know, like, everything with us is literally just in this small circle. Mm. And even then, like, if I don't see her for, like, 24 hours, like, I miss her still. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she is my rock. And, yeah, she's, I guess, the reason why I've evolved into becoming, like, the individual that now I look in the mirror and I'm, like, really satisfied with where I am and sort of how I, like, sort of hold myself is because, like, she's allowed me to be exactly, like, who I am. Like, I'm a fucking weirdo. I am, like, I'm an introvert. I'm, like, I have OCD. Like, I'm really particular with certain things. Like, I find it really hard to switch off. I love my work. I love my training and stuff. But, like, through all these things, she's just there. Like, she just lets me act. I want to act. And I feel acceptance in a relationship is so important. Like, she's not trying to change anything. And it's not about changing things. It's about working with one another. And we just find this way to work with one another. And I think if I give anyone, you know, small bit of advice in a relationship, it's like, when you try and change things, it will never work. But when you just learn to work with one another and, like, bring the best out of one another, then you'll be sweet. So yeah, I owe everything to her, dude. Yeah,
man. Again, like, yeah, that's sick to hear. Yeah. Like, no kind of follow-up on that one, man. That's just fucking awesome to hear. Nick, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. Cannot say thank you enough for your honesty, your time. It's just been it's been the one. So thanks so much, man.
All right, dude. Cheers.